Staring up at the ceiling, huh? That's the view after you lost this week.
No, I'm actually rolling cigarettes, actually, so go fuck yourself.
What's up, Houdat Nation, and welcome to the Dome Patrol United Saints Podcast.
What's up, Houdat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol United Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and I'm not drunk, as I don't suspect many of us will be. Anyway, I say it feels pretty good to be 1-0 after the first week of the season, especially when it's over a division opponent. Especially when that division opponent has a quarterback named Tom Brady as their quarterback. There's still a missing persons report on Mike Evans, and the Superdome crowd was clearly a major factor in this week's game. We hope you enjoyed that little post-game instant reaction on Sunday, and now it's time for the big show. Well, it's the big show. That's right. Paul White is here. Put your seatbelts on. Keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I'll actually go ahead with a one. I've got a little monster here with a little vodka. I'm trying
is that what
to.
You call it?
Well, there's no Red Bull in it, so I can't call it what it should be called. But I'm gonna try to pump up my energy a little bit because in the instant. Reaction show. I was called out for being a little bland because I was incredibly hungover from this bourbon party on Saturday. So just trying to up my game a little bit.
All right. Ben, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I'm going to join Jason with a one. I am currently drinking a gin and tonic. Silent Pool Gin. It's a very nice local gin to me. So, yeah.
All right. Ash, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I think I'm about a four.
Oh!
Oh,
are
wow.
You ever not drinking, Ash? I don't think I've ever seen you.
Well,
not
no. A friend of mine brought some cherries, homemade cherry cider, as you can see. And I've had about four, and it's quite nice.
Yeah.
Is it? Have you got a percentage on that? Or?
Oh, I don't know, mate. He hasn't labeled the percentage. All I know is after about my fourth one, I'm starting to get my swirly head on.
Wow. All right, James, welcome to the show. How are you feeling? I'm not going to ask you for a number.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. Happy. Yeah, ready to go.
Okay.
Ready to zero. My number's zero. It's going to be
right.
Zero. Yeah.
I'll be a zero with you. And Scott, last but not least, what's your number?
I am also a zero right now, doing a little bit of work while we just record today. I do have some breaking news, though. Mike Evans has been found. Apparently, he's been with his daddy, Marshawn Lattimore, the whole time.
Oh, okay. That's pretty good. All right, let's talk about that and more in the game recap. Wants to go first, though. We all did the instant reaction show. I thought y'all hit the high notes pretty good, so we don't have to spend an exorbitant amount of time on the game recap. But I think kind of your big talking points that kind of stick and apply today are Sean Payton's play calling, Drew Brees's.
Did you say Breezes?
Yeah. The rusty performance, and whose fault is that? And
I just want to
about
say that my. My bet came in. My bold prediction.
Oh, that's right. What you? We got to mark that. The first bold prediction already happened.
Prediction. I said that Tom Brady would throw an interception before he threw a touchdown.
Yeah.
Didn't say anything about rushing. Didn't say anything else. He's a pick. He scored a touchdown for the Saints before he scored a touchdown for Tampa.
A passing touchdown, correct?
Passing touchdown.
There you go. Very good. That was a fun, I mean, it was a fun game to watch for as far as the Saints defense and special teams go. With your boy blocking the field goal.
Who Marcus was that? Hunt. Marcus Hunt.
That's right.
Mark Hunt.
You know, like we talked about, I think at the end of the day, two of the better defenses you'll see. So when you combine that with two aging quarterbacks and not a lot of practice time, both offenses looked pretty sloppy. But Peyton's play calling for sure was not good at all, and he even admitted to it after the game.
But you did see a lot of Murray.
Present.
He was very present.
Do you think that's because he listens to the show, or is that just he knew he needed to use Murray and Kamara a little bit more because it's week one without preseason?
I think he was getting all of his Murray carries out of the way so that towards the end of the year he can go back to his, I'm just going to give it to Kamara every time. Fuck Murray. Right. Who's Murray?
Kind of like we talked about on the game recap, you know, when they stopped using Murray, that's when the offense kind of seemed to stall a little bit more, when they weren't running up the middle and they were just trying to run outside and do sweep routes. And we kind of discussed their Tampa Bay's linebackers are way too fast to do stuff like that. It was better running up the middle. I definitely think, I mean, it almost reminded me of one of the Teddy Bridgewater games where, you know, the quarterback play wasn't great, but the defense kind of saved us. I mean, we had three turnovers on special teams and defense, and I think especially that pick six that Jenkins had really kind of, you know, kept us in the game and won it for us.
It was similar to the Seattle game last season.
Yeah.
Very, very similar to that. Kamara went off early, and then the defense and the special teams took over and basically won us the game.
And props to Morstead, who had a really great game. I think he had pinned him inside the 20. I want to say it was five times or something like that. They had zero return yards on punts. So that was pretty good. And then he did that pooch kickoff that we ended up, you know, Fowler ended up recovering the fumble on. So he actually did that too. So props to him.
Yeah, it was. Like I said, special teams defense. Yeah, Justin Hardy got a fantastic tackle on a punt return. We saw, even though we said the play call wasn't great from Sean, we saw the sort of things he's going to do. I think we saw a snap where Kamara took it direct. You know, the trick play of Taysom Hill down to Kamara. This is the type of thing with Breeze's age, I think we're going to see more of throughout the season. And he says, good luck to defenses, you know, trying to stop it.
Well, on Taysom Hill, if you go back and watch the game, three of our longest plays in the game on offense, he was involved in three of them. So the first play of the game, he took that swing pass and ran it about 20 yards. Then he had the QB run for about 20 yards. And then he had the trick play pass to Alvin Kamara near the end that sealed the game. He needs to be more involved.
He really didn't get a lot of snaps this game. Really didn't.
Not as many as we thought.
I wonder if he's holding it.
Maybe they're holding him back. Yeah.
Yeah. He doesn't want to show his hand too early, does he?
Is Scott, you said this on the Instant Reaction show too, is the Taysom Hill when he's in, it's like six plays that, and you know where he lines up, which of the, you know, you can narrow that six down to two.
You talking about if he lines up at quarterback?
Yeah, well, just like, yeah, if he lines up at quarterback, you know it's going to be like one or two plays. If he lines up as a tight end, it's going to be one or two plays. If he lines up as a running back, it's going to be one or two plays. There's like six total Taysom plays. But where he lines up, it's like even somebody like I can start to determine what he's going to do before they snap the ball.
Well, I don't think it's necessarily where he lines up, but when I think what Scott says, like the running back motioned out to the end, and it was like a short yardage, so clearly he's running and they were ready for it. But there's other ways to get him involved. But I do tend to, now that I kind of thought about it a little bit, because technically when the first depth chart came out, he was still the number two quarterback. So if they don't feel that Jameis is ready yet, they're not going to risk Taysom getting – they're not going to overplay him in case he gets hurt, whereas maybe they look at it as when they think Winston could be ready if Breeze were to get hurt, then maybe we'll see more Taysom. Because that was kind of the issue last year when it was only Bridgewater and Taysom. Taysom didn't play a lot at all. And then when Breeze came back, we kind of unleashed him a little more towards the end of the season. So maybe there's a little bit of that.
Yeah, that makes sense. That definitely makes sense what you're saying. Maybe as the season goes on, as they feel Winston's more ready, they might, you know, play him more.
We'll see. It's just a theory. Just a theory as
it
right now.
It's a good theory. It's a good theory. Very few times you have good theories, but that's one of them.
Hey.
I thought Jared Cook had a sensational game. I think that's, you know, I think year two now of Cook, we're going to really see.
Led the team in receiving yards.
Yeah, it did help that big 40-yard catch that he got. Who said Breeze can't throw it more than 30 yards, by the way. But, no, I think he's you're going to see him involved more and more, and I think he's going to be a real, real factor. He'll start to boil up towards the end of the season last year, but I think this year is where you're going to really see him break out as a Saint.
Yeah. What y'all think of Emmanuel Sanders? It's his first game as a Saint. He had 3 catches, 15 yards.
He nearly lost his head on that touchdown play.
That's right, the touchdown play. Yeah.
I mean, I honestly think, you know, they're going to work him in more. There's so many weapons. There's only one ball to go around, you know. Like I said at the Instant Reaction show, it's almost like every week they're going to kind of game plan based on what they're seeing on the defense to pick on a certain player or a certain person to throw to more. You know, this game it was Michael Thomas didn't get a lot, but Jared Cook did, you know. So maybe next game Jared Cook doesn't get as much and Michael Thomas gets more, or Troquan or Hill or Sanders. You know, I think it's going to be a week-to-week thing.
Yeah, also
depends on the matchup.
Harris was involved more than he was last season in the offense. What gives us that another dimension as well. I thought he looked very sharp, not just in the special teams, but actually in the offense as well.
Yeah, and I believe he averaged 15 yards return in the game, which is pretty good.
Yeah, kid's good.
He makes the first person miss regularly on kicks, and all it takes is for there to be a lane, and he is gone.
Gone. Yeah.
You're not nervous when he's back there either. He was a little bit at the start of his rookie
year. I was last year. Yeah.
Yeah, this year, but he seems so much more confident and fine with it.
Very pleased with his progression.
Pretty excellent.
You sound like a proud dad there, Jeff.
I sound like Lattimore.
But yes, I mean, special teams just balled out under the new coordinator. So, you know, that was a big difference in the game. Really, really good to see.
I think that's 4 years in a row playing the Bucs now. We've had a big play on special teams, block punts or block kicks or a kick return. Mm-hmm. You go back to Kamara's kick return, and then every game, at least once a season, we've had a special teams play. Taysom Hill block punt, Justin Hardy block punt, and obviously the block field goal this week.
That's a good stat, James. That is. I like that.
Yeah.
I was wondering about that because it does feel like we've been getting a block. Yeah, we've been blocking field goals. It is a weird thing. So like a lot more in the last couple of years than I remember as a Saints fan.
Well, you know, when we play the Falcons, we're going to block at least one punt. Yeah. And that's just guaranteed.
They look terrible.
They really did look bad.
And it's fantastic.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, we all look really upset about that.
You know, and this week, Carolina's playing Tampa. And I don't remember who the Falcons are playing, but Dallas. I think it's Dallas.
Yeah, Falcons go to Dallas.
So, I mean, got a chance to take a 2-game lead on a couple of teams.
See, both those teams, Dallas and the Falcons, would both be desperate not to go 0-2.
Yeah. They can be desperate all they want.
So, what did y'all think of the piped-in crowd noise on the broadcast on Sunday, including even like when there was a bad call, like they piped in boos?
Yeah, I wondered if they practiced beforehand or if they got like, you know, it's almost like it's, I felt like I was playing Madden.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's basically what it is. As far as the crowd noise goes, you know, I did notice some on some other games, and I don't know if it was just a TV broadcast, like watching the game last night on ESPN, the crowd seemed louder coming through the TV than it did for the Saints game.
They said something on the broadcast, if I remember rightly. I don't know whether it was our game or one of the earlier games, that the piped in noise was actually recording of previous Saints games. So every stadium's piped in noise was noise from their own fans.
Ours should be louder.
Yeah,
no, definitely.
But you don't know what the players heard. You heard what the TV hears.
Right. I don't know what the – are they piping it into the actual dome?
No, too? No, they can't. No,
it's quiet. No.
Mm-hmm. So it's completely quiet.
Well, it's like a they said it's at like 70 decibels.
Right.
That's nothing.
But the player still said it felt weird.
Actually, Cam Jordan said it was quiet. It felt like we were playing in Tampa.
Yeah.
Love Cam Jordan, man. Love that guy.
But it was loud enough to throw off the Bucks and their offensive line. The defensive line, sorry.
And yeah, to make them jump offside. That was one of the craziest things. To jump offsides, knowing what's going to happen and not having
crowd noise.
It's crazy.
But wait, the crowd noise they wouldn't have had because
I guess they wouldn't have had a lot of crowd noise, but still.
But what I want to know is, did they play the boo type stuff?
No, they didn't play anything in the stadium. They can't. That was all just for us, the TV viewers.
Well, hold on, you got to correct your statement. They played something because they had the 70 decibel thing. What did they play?
It was like just like a murmur,
just static.
It was whale noises.
I saw a tweet out saying that they were, the energy that the practice squad players were creating on the sideline and the noise they were creating helped, apparently.
Okay. Josh Rosen over there for Tampa.
Yeah, he looked thrilled to be there, didn't he?
He didn't look happy, did he?
At least he's got a job.
He got to be there. I heard LaToya, the Destroyer, was in the dome.
What? No way.
That's what I heard.
I did hear that too. But...
What? That makes me even more angry.
Doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
That she
Y'all can't go in to watch football, but I'm going to go in and watch it.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard, Jason, she's actually going to sit in your seat for the Green Bay game just to wind you up even more.
Oh, my God. No, she's too classy to sit in my seat. She's going to
shave her head and everything.
Oh, my God.
She's going to wear Sean Payton's face.
Oh God!
That doesn't sound good.
No, it doesn't. Wouldn't Sean Payton? Never mind.
Oh God!
Yeah.
We would like to apologize to purchasers of the executive version of this record for the peremptory nature of that announcement. The brusque tone was intended for buyers of the cheaper version.
All right. Y'all got anything left on the game? I mean, I feel like there's a lot to talk about, but I also know that we got to keep going with the show here.
I think Marshawn Lattimore deserves a shout out.
Mm.
Shot Mike Evans out again.
Psyched him out as well.
Yeah, winds him up every time. Evans just can't cope with Lattimore.
You can tell Lattimore's in his head too, because they fight. I mean, there's how many fights broke out between the two of them? Mm.
Pete's Pete. But yeah, on the play where Lattimore pushed him and he got the penalty when Evans actually knocked Lattimore's helmet off. At the minimum, it should have been a double penalty, but whatever.
I mean, did he throw a punch? I mean, did he just push?
Lattimore had like a cut on his face
under
from
his
it.
Eye, yeah. I mean, that other guy last night got kicked out for throwing a punch, so why wouldn't Evans have gotten thrown out?
Because
it's
Tampa.
Because
Tampa Bay would have improved, and we would rather them not.
Because it's Tampa.
Tampa. Fucking name.
It's like that T-shirt he was wearing coming to the stadium. TB times TB equals L. But honestly.
I mean, him and Gronk look so old. I know we kind of talked about that on the
– Yeah.
On the show, on the Instagram show, but God, they look so old.
I forgot that tackle that Big Dave put on Gronk, where he cut him down at the knees. Gronkowski got up and you could almost see in his face, he's like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Right, he's like, I'd rather go film Tide Pod commercials.
Yeah. Why did I leave the WWE?
Right? I was a champion at WWE. What am I doing?
Yeah, you can't script that, yeah, boy. All right, so that is all I've got then for game recap. Let's push it forward into Pick'ems.
Wait, what?
It's time to play the game. Put your money on the table. Come on. It's the one game you'll never, ever win.
those pick'ems early?
Yeah.
It's almost, it's a good thing I prepared, because I almost wasn't prepared.
Oh, me too.
So, week one in the books, the one member who's not here actually went 5-0. Dave went 5-0.
Yep.
Nice.
In his picks, I went 4-1, Jeff went 4-1, Scott went 4-1, Ben went 4-1.
Yeah, boy.
You know, we a few different calls, but for the most part, we all picked the same. And then James and Ash, sorry, but you both went 2-3.
Wow, wow, wow.
Got
down
on the bottom. I'm on the bottom of the league, as is tradition.
Yep.
Yep, you're the bottom bitch.
In the larger league, Tom Ensign is 4-1. We have a new player this year, Carp2096. That's at Carp2096, 4-1. Jason, Ben, Chris McGuire's 4-1. Trevor Bruno, 3-2. Neil, 3-2. For the first time ever, Neil has a winning record, I think.
And he's beaten Ash and James. Good job,
that's
Neil.
Right. JTL, 3-2. James, Ash, Sans Hobbs, 2-3. And Big Easy Gaijon, 1-4.
Yeah.
Big Easy Gaijon's only 1-4 because he picked late and he only got to pick from two games. That's the 3 o'clock game, so.
Classic Big Easy.
He's 500 in the picks he's made, but he knows he takes his losses because he was late.
All right.
As long as I beat Neil, that's all I care about.
The Swindon slut.
Oh, Jesus. All right, so week two. I went through the games in week two, and man.
Some of the spreads are crazy.
Some of the spreads are crazy, but it's not like there's not a lot of good games. Really? I mean, I would have liked to pick Cleveland and Cincinnati, but that's a Thursday game, so that was out. Can't pick Saints and the Raiders, because that would have been a good game. That's out, and we can't pick the Saints anyway. But let's just go with what we've got. We've got the Washington football team coming off a surprising come-from-behind win against the Eagles last week. That defensive line looks kind of ferocious. You got first-round pick Chase Young in there. I think they had, did they have 9 sacks this week? It was a lot, and they got down 17-0, stormed back, got the win. They travel to Arizona to play a Cardinals team that's coming off an upset win over the 49ers. Kyler Murray balled out. DeAndre Hopkins likes his new team, and I think he's just thrilled to not be with Houston anymore. This game's in the desert. Cardinals are favored by 7.
Ooh. Cardinals, please.
I'm going to take the Cardinals as well.
Give me the Cardinals, please.
Cardinals look sneaky good. I think it's just maybe because they're playing San Fran, who are terrible.
I'm going to take the Cardinals.
All right, make it a sweep. That's a lot of points to give up, but shit.
Yeah.
Is this an Arizona six-way?
See what you did there?
You like it.
All right, our next game, the Minnesota Vikings coming off a big loss to Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers looked really good last week. Minnesota, not so much. They got some garbage time touchdowns to make it not look as bad. They traveled to Indy to play a Colts team that got upset at Jacksonville. Phillip Rivers looks pretty washed, threw a couple of bad picks like he always does. The Colts lose Marlon Mack to a season-ending injury. This game's in Indy. Colts are favored by 3.
What? I'm taking Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Same here.
Yeah. Vikings for me.
Minnesota six-way.
This is really...
Is it really?
This is good listening.
Curious to see who everybody else picks.
I don't know. I haven't made my pick yet.
Oh, Jason hasn't made it. Jason hasn't made his pick. Hold on.
Okay. I mean,
he's taking Minnesota. Just
I have to. Philip Rivers.
This is not the one to try to break away from.
You're right. This is that was definitely an anti-Philip Rivers pick. I think he's.
He did not look good this week.
Nope. Our next game, the Los Angeles Rams, coming off a win against Dallas. Now everybody's bitching about, oh, that was offensive pass interference. Blah blah. You know, all the Cowboys fans. Leave it to the Rams to find a way to get away with all kinds of pass interference calls going their way. They travel to Philly to play that Eagles team coming off a come-from-behind loss to Washington last week. This game's in Philly. Eagles are getting 1.5 at home.
At Philly.
Give me
one and a half.
Philly is getting 1.5 at home.
Shit. Fuck, give me Philly. Give me Philly.
Yeah, I'll take the Eagles too.
All right. I'm taking
the Rams as well.
Yeah. I'm going to go with the Rams on this one. They're getting all the help that they contracted for when they built the stadium. So, and I'm sorry, Philly. Not impressed with what I saw.
I'm going to take the Rams as well.
In trouble, I think.
Make that, for me, the Rams.
All right.
Unless Goedert goes off.
Not a lot of separation this week. All right, our next game. This is probably the best game of the bunch. The New England Patriots coming off a big win. Cam Newton looks rejuvenated or just juvenated going to New England. They had an easy win last week. They traveled to Seattle to play a Seahawks team that just went and murdered the Falcons in Atlanta. Russell Wilson, monster game. This game's in Seattle. I'm assuming they're not going to have fans. Still, that's it. Like, I don't know. Are there any teams that didn't have fans last week and were able to have fans this week? I really don't know at this point. But Seattle's favored by 4.
Seattle by 4?
By 4.
Who's Seahawks? I don't think Cam Newton was that impressive, to be fair. I wasn't like, oh, he's back to his best.
Thought that's the game I watched the most of in the early games. And I was not impressed by New England. They just were never out of it, kind of. I don't know. It was kind of, yeah.
But holy shit, Jamal Adams and that Seahawks defense is scary.
Yeah, I'm taking Seattle.
Give me the Pats.
I'm going to take the Seahawks.
Yeah, Seattle for me as well.
If Seattle could just fix their offensive line, they'll be a decent team.
Am I the only one taking New England?
So far, we haven't seen what it
is. Yeah. Give me the sea chickens, please. I can't see them beating Seattle in
Seattle.
Yeah, no home crowd.
In Central Link.
No home crowd.
No, we didn't have a home crowd either, but we still won.
That's a good point. All right, and now our Odell Beckham shitty game of the week.
Here we go. Of shit car, I got a piece of shit car. That fucking pile of shit never gets me very far. My car.
Speaking of shitty Cleveland, another fucking stinker. I mean, Baker Mayfield sucks.
Odell Beckham trade rumors tonight.
All right, so we have the New York Football Giants coming off a loss last night. At Pittsburgh, they traveled to Chicago, who looked god awful, came back against Detroit, should have lost the game because DeAndre Swift had an easy touchdown at the end of regulation that he just dropped. I mean, just catch it and fall back, and you got a touchdown and you win the game. So Chicago should be 0-1. They're 1-0. This game's in Chicago. Bears are favored by 4.5.
Give me the Giants.
Damn, I thought I was going to be Katrina. I'm going with the Giants as well.
I'm going Giants.
Chicago Giants. Is favored by 4.5.
Favored by 4.5.
Did you see the Giants last night?
Did you see the Bears?
Just a.
Well, I did, but they managed to pull it out in the end. No, I'm taking Chicago there.
I got Giants. Have you, got me down for Giants.
Have you seen apparently Allen Robinson's demanding a trade as well out of Chicago?
Wow.
Who is?
Allen Robinson.
Yeah.
So everybody's taking the Giants except James.
Who are you taking?
I'm going to take the points.
Damn.
Sorry.
All right, yeah, I'm going to switch mine to the Bears then.
Oh, there's your switch for the year.
Yep. It wasn't fun.
It's good.
In week two.
All right. Trying to get a little separation. This is just a shitty slate of games this week. That's all I can say.
Yeah, it is a bit disappointing.
It's underwhelming. There's nothing that's really close.
Odell picked all the games. Is that what happened?
These are all shitty games of the week.
All right. That is your pick'em. So everybody listening, make sure that you tweet at Dome Patrol US. Actually, it's Dome Patrol at Dome Patrol PCast. If you start a tweet on Twitter, hashtag pick'ems, and go ahead and make your picks. I'll go ahead and post these when we finish recording so that people can get their picks in. Remember, your picks have to be in before the games kick off. We don't pick Thursday games. We don't pick Monday games. It's all Sunday stuff. So before that first set, before your games kick off, and if, when I like it, I've recorded it. Usually, lately I've been liking and recording them on Monday after the fact. So that's how that goes. All right, that's all for pick'ems. What do we have next on the agenda? Y'all want have any NFL reach around? Do y'all have anything to talk about? Around the league.
I mean, if you want to just talk about overall week one, anything that jumps out.
Burrow's first touchdown.
Ah, that was nice.
Classic Joe Burrow.
Well, classic Bengals getting Bengaled.
They shit the bed.
Kickers you heard were off what this week, huh?
Well, you heard what happened to the kicker for the Bengals game, didn't you? He claimed he pulled his hamstring or something.
Hamstring.
But after the game, was holding and had the ice on a different leg to what he was limping on when he was on the field.
Of course he did.
Classic Bengals.
Of course he did.
Yeah, but you're right, Scott. The kickers did. Not, I mean, that Titans kicker last night was just...
I mean,
oh, my God.
And that's Gostkowski, who has been a pretty good kicker for a while.
Yeah. It's. I'm glad we have Lutz.
I haven't seen any of Monday night's games yet. I still haven't got around to watching any highlights.
There's not much to watch.
Did you miss four? You missed four and then he kicked the game winner?
Oh, my God, really?
Yeah, no, he missed three field goals. He missed three field goals and an extra point, didn't he? And then kicked the game winner with 10 seconds left.
I'm glad we have Lutz. That's all I'm going
to
say about
that. Yeah, no, it feels nice to not have to worry about that position after struggling so long under Sean Payton.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Who was it that went completely buck wild this week besides?
Well, you had Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams had pretty big games.
That's what I'm thinking of, Davante Adams.
Yeah. I mean, Aaron Rodgers looked like, oh, you get drafted in a quarterback? Fuck you.
Maybe that's why they did it.
Who did they play against?
Minnesota. I mean, Minnesota's no slouch.
Maybe. Maybe not.
The Jets look awful as standard.
Jets were bad.
How does Adam Gase still have a job?
That's exactly what I was about to say.
Because nobody else wants to go to the Jets. do I stay unemployed or do I go to the Jets? Fuck it. I'm staying unemployed.
Right. You think Jamal Adams is happy? Whew.
Do you think I know we're early here, but if the Jets end up with a number one pick this year, do they go Trevor Lawrence in a draft, or are they behind Darnold, do you think?
I'd go Trevor Lawrence.
A good franchise would go Lawrence, but if it's still the GM, I mean, you got to think the coach would be fired, but if not, and it's the same GM, so they don't want to admit their failures with Darnold. Maybe they trade the pick for more picks that they could screw up.
What do y'all think about the NFL basically coming out and saying, hey, if there's going to be ramifications if the coaches aren't wearing masks on the sideline? Did y'all see that? Like, they sent out a warning letter to every NFL team.
I want to know why it matters that the coach is wearing a mask.
I don't understand why any of them need to wear a mask. They've all been tested before the damn game. I mean, what the fuck? Like, is it just for appearances?
Especially when, you know, like the players aren't wearing the masks, and or is it just the head coach or all the coaches?
It's at all coaching staff, and I guess personnel. So like, if they have somebody on a sideline that works, I guess, for the organization, they all have to be wearing masks. But to get into the building, they've got to be tested.
They
have their temperature taken
before the game, announcing that they tested 3,300 people on Saturday, players, staff. And nobody tested positive on Saturday.
Yeah, nothing.
So they went big on that. So why
I just
do they
don't understand
the
why they need the mask on the sideline. The same thing with the interviews. They got the reporters in the stands, and they got a microphone set up on the on the field for them to do post game interviews.
It's like that everywhere. The Premier League's like that as well.
But I don't. Is it just for appearances? Like, I don't understand if they've all been tested.
Yeah, because if you're already distanced, it shouldn't matter. Like, if you're interviewing right next to him, yeah, wear a mask. But if you're separated like that, it's.
But I mean,
like,
even interviewing next to him, everybody's been tested. What's the point?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It does seem odd, right? When the players aren't wearing it, then the coaches probably.
No, the players aren't wearing it. The players are.
Because you know they're not wearing it at practice every day when the camera's not on them. It's not about safety. It's about them.
It's about optics.
Showing the world, right? It's about optics.
I mean, they're giving each other high fives. You know, helmet headbutting each other after make a good play. I mean, you don't think fucking spit and shit's coming out of their mouth?
Drew Brees licking his fingers.
Yeah. You know, in the offseason, he said that he was trying to work on that.
Yeah. Well, Brittany's not happy. He doesn't lick his fingers anymore.
Oh!
Wow! Yeah, it's a hard habit to break. You know, it's hard to break the habit with the left hand. You know, when you go to the right hand, it's just weird.
It's a stranger.
You know? Hey, I'm trying to bring the energy of the show.
Yeah.
Boom. Go for it.
Bada boom. Heyo.
Like, we're off. For whatever reason, today we're being prudes, but on Saturday, as many shit jokes as went off.
Who's being prudish?
Someone say Adele Beckham. There's the Adele Beckham trade rumors will come early this year.
In Cleveland?
In there? Oh, okay. I thought you were setting up for a punchline.
I was waiting for one.
No.
Wouldn't the place for him to go would be Shitlanta?
Oh, that's the next one. Oh,
Chicago.
You say that. I know, you know, they were down the whole game, but Atlanta had 300-yard receivers. You know, this is going to be a typical Matt Ryan will throw for 5,000 yards and the Falcons will go 6-10.
They gotta go
7-9 for the three-peat.
Ah, okay.
That's right. Funny.
I get fun watching the Falcons, like, social media, all their fans melting down just after the game, saying, you know, why do we keep the same coaching staff, expect different results and all that lot? It's just a little bit of light entertainment before our game kicked off. It was amusing.
5 years ago.
Yeah.
It was funny,
but we had a good head coach.
Devin White had tweeted something today about he retweeted the Tampa Bay Bucks official Twitter page, said our defense held Alvin Kamara to an average of 1.33 yards per carry, the lowest of his career. But if he scores 3 fucking touchdowns, what difference does it
right.
make?
You lost the game.
Yeah, you fucking lost. 1.33, but he scored 2 touchdowns.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
I guess they got to try to find something to tote themselves about. I don't know.
Did you see that Bruce Arians was throwing everybody under the bus with his interviews today as well? He even threw Brady under the bus a little bit.
He's like, he looked like Brady at practice. They didn't do anything we didn't prepare for. I'm not sure exactly what happened.
What happened is you ran into the Saints defense.
Right? You ran into a good team.
Yeah.
Like you said,
you practiced against your shitty team. That's what happened.
This ain't the AFC East.
It kind of makes you kind of realize or something that, like, that's why Tampa sucks. They're just not good. They don't understand the basics.
Well, and they could be as talented as they want. They're incredibly undisciplined. Look at all the penalties that fucked them, you know? As long as they continue being an undisciplined team, they're never going to win. I mean, there's no reason they should have jumped off sides on that fourth down. They had no reason to do it, and yet they did it.
Yep. Undisciplined. It's Bruce Arians. He's not. Maybe he's just not as good a coach as everybody said he was.
But yeah, I think another takeaway from the NFL is, you know, the ratings for the Saints Tampa game was the highest on Fox since I think 2016. A lot of that is, you know, the curiosity of seeing Brady with a new team, and also
the Brady Breeze matchup.
Having a good matchup like that, but. You know, it's funny, all these people talking about protesting and not watching football. Football ratings are going to be fine. Nobody's worried about that.
I just wish – now you got what grinds my gears up there.
There you go.
Every time the Saints organization posts something like on Facebook, all these people take that as an opportunity to make a comment about how they're not watching football or I don't care about the Saints anymore. You know, to all those people, if that's the case, then just why don't you unsubscribe? Unlike, get it off your timeline, quit commenting on it. Or like somebody else suggested, go form your own hate group and go wallow in your self-pity over there and let the fans, the actual fans, still have fun and participate. You know what I mean? Don't come shit all over our parade because too soft, too weak-brained to get over your own problems in life.
One of my favorite things at the moment is trolling people in the posts when they do that. There's a GIF on Facebook, GIF or GIF, whatever it is, and it's a radar that's going round, and it says, searching for people who care, and the radar's just going round and round and that, and it triggers some people really badly. I've had all kinds of private messages sent to me and all sorts. Really funny.
Everybody gets brave when they're sitting at their keyboard or on their phone. Everybody's well.
I like it when they tell you you shouldn't have anything to do with this American football, the Saints, because we're British. It's quite funny that reply back to us makes me chuckle.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there was a lot of that before week one, and even you know when the games when the first game kicked off, the Chiefs game. You know, especially like people on Facebook were posted, "Oh, I'm looking so forward to not watching this game, and I'm going to do this instead, and that they can just enjoy football without me." I'm like, okay, fine. I'm going to watch. I'm still going to watch it. And I think, I don't know if I brought it up on the recap or Saturday, but like when LSU players do that in 2 weeks, are you telling me you're really not going to watch LSU football? No chance. No chance.
Right. It's just, if you're protesting and you're not paying attention because of all that stuff, then leave. Take your exit, put your money where your mouth is, and walk away from it.
Can't do that.
Then they're not protesting.
Well, there you go.
All right. What else we got?
So we do have we got headlines. There is kind of a big headline for the Saints.
Oh.
Hello, I'm Kent Brockman, and this is Eye on Springfield.
What headline you got?
Well, we got Michael Thomas.
Are you talking about high ankle injury?
Well, yeah, that's kind of a big deal.
Very big deal.
Well, I think that falls – I mean, is it a headline or is it a preview consideration?
No, it's definitely a headline. I mean, we'll talk about the preview, but it's a fucking headline. I mean, if it's Saints news, that's kind of Saints news. It's not fake news, it's headlines.
All right, what do you got?
They've been very careful not to call it a high ankle sprain, haven't they? They're calling it a high ankle injury, because obviously if you have a high ankle sprain, that's what, 5-6 weeks usually?
I think, I think high ankle sprain, they'll usually say like 3 or 4, and it'll stretch into like a fifth. So that's why when they said he thinks he can play through it, I'd rather him not. I'd rather sit him out for a couple of weeks. I know it's going to suck, but if we don't, this is going to linger for him the entire season.
I agree. I mean, we basically won the game without him this week.
Oh,
I mean, am I wrong?
If he's questionable,
well, he drew coverage.
Monday,
I mean, he drew. They had to account for him. I mean, we won the game without requiring him to receive a lot of passes, but he did play decoy.
Okay. I mean, we still got Sanders, yeah. Deontay Harris, Traquan, Jared Cook, Mara. I know. I kind of wish on that Traquan. But, I mean, we still have other weapons we can throw to, you know, move Sanders up to 1, put Traquan 2. I don't know. Deontay in the slot.
I just, you know, I'd rather them get it as right as possible than have him play it like 85% for the entire year.
Sorry, yeah.
You know, I mean, if you look at it, you know, the Raiders did win last week, so they're a little frisky, and Green Bay looked pretty good last week. But then you got Detroit and the Chargers. You could get away with sitting him there, and then you have your bye week. So if you were to – as much as you don't want to sit him in these next two games, if you sit him for the next 4 weeks plus a bye week, by the time we hit Carolina in week 7, he's 100%. So do you want him 100%?
The next two? at 80%, 90%?
Well, it would be the next four. And I mean, if you're going to keep playing him, he's never going to get fully right until the season's over. It's not going to happen.
Okay.
So do you take a chance and sit him out completely to get him 100%, even if he has to miss these four games? At least you know when you come back after the bye, you got him at 100% the rest of the way.
All I know is my fantasy season's over, if that's the case.
I think you sit in this week because it's non-conference, isn't it? So it doesn't count as much towards the seedings and things like that. I mean, you know, you want to win the game, but and then try and get him ready for the Green Bay game.
Now, you could put him on IR because IR is only 3 weeks this year.
Right. True. Well, I do like James' idea because if you sit him out this week, have him try to be ready for Green Bay, and if he's not, then you just sit him for Green Bay and you can keep sitting him, but at least, you know, maybe he'll have a chance to play that game, which is going to be pretty big.
We're going to need him more against Green Bay, I think, than we will against the Raiders.
Yeah.
Although I'm not overlooking the Raiders. I think old Chucky's got – you might have something going on down there.
I'm not, but you also have to remember that Carolina is pretty bad. You know, you have to remember that they have, you know, they've got four or five new starters on defense. They have a new coach, a new quarterback coming in.
And they put up 30.
But Joshua Jacobs, I mean.
He's pretty good, but you know what the Saints have done? Not allowed a 100-yard rusher in 44 games.
Oh, that is true. All right. Done and done. Well, do you want to talk about it in the Saints preview?
Sure.
Let's go.
Preview.
44 games of not allowing a 100-yard rusher is pretty insane.
Nine off the all-time record. 53 is the record.
Yeah, man.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I know Jacobs is good, but what did he run for against Carolina? Anybody got stats?
Carolina, 93 yards.
It was under 100.
Still under 100. Box score there.
How many touchdowns did he have?
I think he had two.
Three.
Three.
Jeez. Yes. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
25 carries, 93 yards, 3 touchdowns.
Okay. So he did that against a shitty defense. What do you think he's going to do against a good defense?
That's fair. Yeah. And is Tuttle going to be back? Not that we need him. I don't know. You know, I like having them roach clips.
I don't know if he's going to be back. Has anybody heard anything about like Ruiz or Davenport?
I think it's
kind of early tomorrow, right now. Isn't it?
Yeah, it's too early. Report. But it sounded. I know Peyton was asked about Davenport, and he said that's an injury where you can't rush him back. You need to make sure he's right first. So, from the way that sounded, I would anticipate Davenport missing this week as well. That really sucks about Ruiz, man.
Maybe he'll play this week. I don't know. We'll see. I mean,
interesting, though, that Davenport hasn't been put in IR, if that's the case, given IR is only 3 weeks.
Yeah. Same with Ruiz, too. Yeah. Although, I don't know. I mean, the Saints doctors, they're great.
just rather quickly, I just seen a post that James sent in the UK Saints old chat. We got the Vikings and Colts at the 6 p.m. game. Fuck me.
Vikings and Colts. Yeah, but as opposed to what? What game would you rather?
Exactly. There's nothing else on.
Right?
Yeah.
All right, well, this is the Saints-Raiders game preview.
All right. So, honestly, I don't know a lot about the Raiders to really give. I mean, I know Derek Carr's a quarterback. Have we played them recently?
I mean, not in 4 years.
No, okay. Not in 4 years.
So, I mean,
4 years in the dome, wasn't it?
Yeah,
they beat us in the dome opening weekend 4 years ago.
Was it a walk-off touchdown to seal the game, if I remember right?
Crabtree. It was fucking. I think Crabtree was with the Raiders. Oh,
right. It's a completely different team at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is. John Gruden's back.
Yeah, they've got – they drafted Ruggs from Alabama, right? Or yeah. Was it Judy?
No, it's Ruggs. Judy's in Denver.
Right. So, I mean, stop Josh Jacobs. You know, they got a good tight end in Waller. I have no idea about their defense. You know, like, yeah, I mean, I really don't know a ton about them.
Yeah, the wide receivers are Ruggs, Brian Edwards, and Hunter Renfro. They do have Nelson Aguilar.
Okay. Yeah, he scored last week.
Josh Jacobs, obviously. Derek Carr. I don't know much about their defense. Let's see. I mean, I'm looking at the names of their defense, and I don't really see anybody that jumps out at me.
And something else to consider.
Arden Key is on their team.
We dismantled Tampa with maybe the worst offensive showing in Sean Payton, Drew Brees era.
Yep.
Right? I mean, against Tampa, who supposedly, the Super Bowl favorites. I mean, Drew Brees played an awful game. Michael Thomas wasn't there. Sean Payton had his worst play calling game. Kamara, his rushing numbers were ugly. All the Saints need to do – you talk about stopping Josh Jacobs, stop all this. Like, the defense is fine. All the offense needs to do is show up.
Yep.
And go ahead.
They need to reward the defensive stops.
Yeah.
Because, you know, far too many times, you know, in the Tampa game that, you know, the defense stopped Brady, you know, marched down the field. It's like, you know, reward this defense with points. And, you know, there was far too many times I thought this is another season where the defense will outplay the offense.
That is a problem we've kind of had all for the last few years, isn't it? Complimentary football. It's like we can never get all three phases of the game clicking at the same time.
We got two.
Right.
Saints are a 6.5-point road favorite.
Yeah, no fans. This is the first game of the brand new stadium.
I mean, honestly, we should go in and take care of business and handle it, you know, but God, usually when we have games like that, it's when we shit the bed. So, whereas I'm optimistic, I'm also kind of like, am I too optimistic?
Well, I do feel good about the fact that because the offense played so poorly in week one, they're really focused on coming out and not doing that again. And then also the fact that a mediocre at best Carolina team with the new quarterback, new system, a lot of new pieces, still put up 30 points on them.
30 points, yeah.
You know?
Teddy Bridgewater threw for 270 yards. Mm-hmm. 22 of 34. So... yeah, you've got to think that Breeze is going to be able to connect with the receivers a few more times than he did last week.
So the all-time series, they're 6-6-1 against the Raiders. We have a 4-game winning streak on Monday Night Football. So we've won our past 4 Monday Night Football games. And we've won the last 3 of the road games against the Raiders. So, I mean, all signs point that, you know, we should
there you go.
We should win.
That's true.
What was it? We were favored by 6.5.
6.5.
Yeah, which seems about right. It really seems about right, especially if you shut down Jacobs and you make Derek.
But I mean, really, that's 9.5. I mean, if you're giving him 3 points for being at home.
Yeah, but is that really a thing anymore with no crowd?
I don't know.
I'm sure Vegas is figuring. You know, these first couple of weeks, Vegas is figuring out what's happening because I think the home teams. You know, like it was 8-8, 8 home.
Maybe
teams
that's
won,
why
eight road teams won this week.
Maybe that's why the spreads are higher. I don't know. This because the spreads seem really high this week on a lot of games.
I don't know. I can't wait to see the stadium though.
Yeah, it's one we should have been at.
It'd be nice.
Yeah, I'd have been going.
Well, believe me, I'm sure you're definitely going to hear a lot about it on ESPN on Monday.
Yep. Good.
God.
All right, well, what's
James,
your score prediction?
Every cloud, James, because obviously going Vegas and going cyber would not be fun.
No, that's true. That's true.
Y'all want to do the score predictions?
Yeah, let's go. I say I'm going big.
Oh.
42 17 Saints.
I like that.
14 Saints.
38-12 to the Saints.
I'm going to give them Saints' first 50 burger of the season. So we're going to score 56 points to 9. We are going to steamroll the fuck out of them.
Don't patrol checkpoint for Ash.
56-9. I like it. Wow.
I was going to go 49, but I just felt like there was going to be a field goal or two in there. So I'll do like 45-20.
All right. Here I am being conservative. 37-17.
Yeah, I've gone far too low.
Dude, I mean, think again that we scored 30 some odd points against Tampa Bay, and our offense was
stunk.
Hot garbage.
Yeah.
So imagine when it clicks. This I said it in the tailgate episode. This is a 50-point offense. When things are working, they're scoring 50.
But if Michael Thomas doesn't play, is it still a 50-point?
That's
offense?
Why I said 45.
Okay. Got it.
Michael Thomas makes that 5-point difference.
That's it.
He's a 7-point, but you know, I figure Emmanuel's gonna go off.
Maybe this is a big rushing game, and we rush for like 200 and some odd.
Well, this is Murray against his former team,
and Jared Cook.
And Cook.
Well, you know, Peyton's gonna get them involved. That's what he does.
Yeah. All right, guys. Final thoughts, Ash.
Going 2-0, leaving Vegas with a win, handing them the first L in the new shiny stadium. Fuck Gruden and fuck Mac Davis.
All right, James.
Good to have the NFL season back. Obviously, great to start it with a victory against Tampa Bay and Tom Brady. Looking forward to Monday night. I think we've all gone clean sweep for a win. So let's enjoy 2-0 and talking about it next week.
All right, Scott.
My final thought is not Saints related, but today is my son Alex's 4th birthday, so I just want to wish him a very happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Alex.
All right,
Jason.
Final thought, two things. One, man, I love Cam Jordan, and I love the fact that he's a Saint. He's so awesome. And then two, you know, congrats to DeMario Davis on getting that extension that was like snuck in there during the broadcast. Like, wait, what? He signed an extension? Aaron Andrews beat all the local Saints guys about that extension.
Should beat somebody off to get that scoop.
Oh, Jesus.
Working for a radio station in Chicago.
A very reasonable deal considering he's an all-pro. If he went on the open market, I think he could have got a lot more. So it shows you how much he wants to be here. He's really taken over leadership in that locker room. And the fact that he was willing to give up some money to re-sign here, it eases my fears about, about all the contracts that are coming up and whether or not we can fit him in or not, because he was a guy I was worried about. But at that price, I think it's a steal, and I'm happy that he's going to be here for another few years.
All right.
Sure any of us thought that Kamara and Davis would be the first two of those free agents to get paid.
Definitely not.
Glad they were, though.
Yep.
Yeah. Kamara rewarded us with 2 touchdowns, didn't he? All right. And Ben, final thoughts.
Monday Night Football, so back to being a challenging watch for us guys over here. What time does it start over here, James?
1:20 in the morning.
1:20 in the morning. So that's going to be a fun Tuesday at work.
Are y'all staying up to watch it?
Yeah, I'll go to bed for a few hours before, and then I'll go to bed about 9 in the evening, set my alarm for 1, get up, watch it, then go back to bed for about another hour and a half or so.
Yeah. Won't miss a game. Won't miss one.
Yeah. So you'll be on the
WhatsApp we'll be on the WhatsApp group. Don't worry about that. And also, shout out to the guys at UK American Sports. Provide all good sort of merchandise for UK fans. They did a giveaway of a cool Saints sign. So go and check them out as well.
That sounds like a paid advertisement.
Hang on a minute.
They've got some cool stuff on there.
How much have they paid you to do that?
they let him win the competition, mate.
They do competitions and stuff like that, so I feel like enter it. Why not? You might win some Saint stuff.
You're gonna have to get one of those little peas product placement things when we're doing a live stream if he's gonna do more stuff like that.
So is that how it works? We each get our individual product, like a football team. It's like, I'm gonna go get LaBorde and Earl's law firm and go do a commercial with Kamara. Yeah. All right, that's all the show we have for you right now. We're gonna thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol United podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol US and Dome Patrol UK. Like us on Facebook to watch live broadcasts sometimes. Subscribe on YouTube to watch or listen as an alternative to your podcast app sometimes. And if you want to listen the old-fashioned way, go to Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, Tampa Bay donkeys. Good night, Who Dat Nation.
Yeah.
Disaster, this the master. Make music for mini me's, models, and fat bastards. These women trying to get me out my pelly pelly. They strip off my clothes and tell me, get in my belly. Stay on the track, hit the ground running like Flojo. Sit back in time and I never lost my mojo. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Ludacris sent down to take over the whole world. Whoa, don't slip up or get cut.
Why not, man?
I'm coming for that number.